All right, there are a lot of vacations, and I gotta thank Peggy for playing the piano. That's, you know, how about it? Yeah. Jen came up and led the song. Tina doing announcements, you know. Rick stepping in here for Jared and taking care of stuff with the worship team. Yeah, I better know that. A round of applause for all of them. So basically, we have the whole second string this week. But it's all good. And that's a family. That's a family. See a need, we take care of it. And that's wonderful. All right. The title of the sermon is One More Night with the Frogs. And if anybody's ever been to my house during the summer, you understand why I'm preaching on Night with the Frogs. My wife used to collect frogs a lot. Now she has slowed down a little bit, and we're to the age now, it's like we're maybe starting to get rid of stuff. Her maybe more than me. But there's still a lot of frogs out in our dining room, in our family room. And we actually had a pastor came to visit, and he's like, oh, my word, I'm like at the second plague of Egypt here. You know, frogs. We've all seen frogs. So it'd be interesting. I saw a title of an essay, One More Night with the Frogs, and it intrigued me because I don't necessarily want to spend a night with frogs. So I thought I'd do a little bit of research, and that's sort of where this message came from. For background, we're in the book of Exodus, and the children of Israel are in Egypt. They got there when Joseph went down, was sold into slavery, heard about, God sent him a message that famine was coming. He helped Pharaoh get ready for the famine. The Israelites, his brothers who sold into slavery, came down to buy food. Long story short, he said, hey, I'm your brother, come on down. Pharaoh gave him land. They lived through the plague. They multiplied. They were doing great. And then the book of Exodus tells us, a Pharaoh rose up that didn't know Joseph. So we don't know if it was another dynasty, which there's a whole bunch of dynasties of Pharaohs, or if it was just another Pharaoh. But he was afraid of the Israelites. So he put them into slavery. They were building stuff. Talks about the cities they built. And that wasn't enough. He started to have the baby boys killed. Then we know the story how Moses was put in a basket, put in the Nile, not to be saved, not to drown. And Pharaoh's daughter found him, pulled him out, raised him in Pharaoh's house. He's about 40 years old. He killed an Egyptian slave driver. Okay, got a little ahead of himself. Went into the wilderness 40 years. Was a sheep herder. Married the daughter of the guy that owned the sheep. And figured this was my retirement plan. And, of course, God has something different for him. Talked to him out of the burning bush, sent him back to Egypt. And he's going to go to Pharaoh and say to Pharaoh, let my people go. Well, Pharaoh wasn't necessarily down with that. Okay? If we go to Exodus 5:2, Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Don't know who this Lord is you're talking about. Okay, we had the miracle of Aaron taking his staff and turning it into a snake. The magicians in Egypt did the same thing, and then Aaron's snake ate theirs. But Pharaoh's still unmoved. Nope, not going to send them. So, going to have 10 plagues. We have the 10 plagues, very interesting. Might be a little hard to read, but if you look down through the 10 plagues, you had the Nile turning to blood, you had frogs, you had gnats and lice, you had flies, you had livestock. Next slide, please. Okay, you had boils, you had hail, you had locusts, the death of the firstborn. Every plague was directed at an Egyptian god. It's like God saying, what are you guys doing? What are you looking at here? These gods are nothing, okay? And he defeated each one. And but as you know, he had to go through all 10 before Pharaoh would let the people go. So I decided I'd like to camp on the second plague, the frogs. Okay, Exodus 7:25. 7 days passed after the Lord struck the Nile. First plague, he turned the Nile into blood. Okay, terrible plague. People were digging holes trying to find drinkable water. 7 days after this, okay, Pharaoh's probably thinking, got through that. Okay, the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go that they may worship me. God's saying, these are my people. You have to let them go. They're not your people. They're not Satan's people. They're my people. They're serving you as slaves. That's not what they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be serving me. So he wanted them out of there. He wanted them out of there from these Egyptian gods. They had all sorts of gods. God didn't want them there. So in verse 2, God says, if you refuse, I will plague your whole country with frogs. Why frogs? Why frogs? Okay. If we look into the Egyptian gods, we know that, of course, God is sending every plague after an Egyptian god. The god Hekwet is an Egyptian goddess of fertility, represented in the form of a frog, a female figure with a frog head. Okay. On the left there, we have an artist rendering. On the right is an actual Egyptian little statuette of the frog goddess. For the Egyptians, the frog was a symbol of fertility. Okay, every year, the Nile flooded, putting down fresh silt for the fields, which is why they were like the grain basket of the area. And they saw the frog as the fertility, the reason this happened. She had a husband, Canunum, and he was supposedly fashioned to human bodies, and she'd breathe in the breath of life, and that's where people came from. And frogs were sacred. Frogs could not be killed or destroyed. You didn't kill frogs. So a whole bunch of frogs coming out would be an annoyance and a curse, and it would put strain on their religious system. Sort of what God wanted to do. This is not the last time that God, for the Egyptians, that their animal worship would be used against them. In 525 BC, there was a battle between a fellow by the name of Cambyses II, who was a Persian, and Psamtik III, the Egyptian pharaoh at the time. Cambyses was the son of Cyrus the Great. Cyrus was the one who sent the Israelites back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. So he has a biblical connection, although he's not mentioned in the Bible. His dad is. So sort of puts you in a time frame here. So in 525 BC, he wanted to take Egypt. And what he did is he took cats and some other sacred animals to the Egyptians and ran them out in front of his army. Okay? The Egyptians, especially the cats, oh, no, you can't kill a cat. They actually broke because they would not kill their sacred animals. And the Persians won a great battle and ruled Egypt for another almost 200 years until a fellow by the name of Alexander the Great showed up, and that was the end of the Persians. But animal worship is what the Egyptians did. Verse 3, this is Moses talking to Pharaoh. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and in your bedroom and in your bed, into the houses of your officials and on your people, and into your ovens and kneading troughs. Okay, the first three are mentioned right to Pharaoh specifically. They're going to come into your palace. Obviously, Pharaoh has guards. He has a palace secure. They're coming in. They're coming into his bedroom. They're coming into his bed. Okay? You know, I don't know, sleeping with frogs does not seem like a good time to me. But this is what's going to happen, okay? And it's going to happen immediately. It's going to happen at once. God's not going to say, well, in the course of 5 years, all these frogs are going to show up. No, it's going to happen right now. And we all know about frogs. We have frogs around here. Most of you guys have probably walked along a stream or a pond or something and seen frogs. Frogs don't go far from the water because water's safety for them. Okay, water's food for them. Lots of bugs along the water. Okay, we'd all be happy if we could eat what bugs us, right? So the frogs are timid. They're not going to go far, and they're not going to go near people. Okay, walk along a stream. All of a sudden, there's a movement. Whoosh, there goes the frog. They don't like to be people because we look like a predator. Okay, all of a sudden, the frogs are changing the way they live and are going into people's houses and the Pharaoh's house. Okay. So God had to supernaturally change the frog's mindset. Now, the Egyptians, if you read about the Egyptians, they were a fastidiously clean people. And that can't be said about everybody in the ancient world. So this is really going to sort of bum them out, all these frogs. They're going to go to the people, to the servants. Okay, and it says the ovens or the kneading troughs. Well, anybody that's baked bread knows that you need somewhere to knead the bread to get it to rise and pound it. And I remember my grandmother smacking it, taking out her aggression so she didn't have to hit my grandfather. So they were going to have frogs. Okay, pull out the kneading trough to make some bread. There's frogs. Okay, in the meantime, they're down around your ankles. There's frogs. They're not deadly. Just a whole bunch of them, and they're irritating. Okay, so lady pulls out the kneading trough. There's a frog. Probably going to scream. My sister's not here, so I can't give her up in front of everybody. But when we were kids one time, she went down to the creek and got, I think it was 17 salamanders, okay, and brought them home. I don't know why. But she took them to the basement because she's pretty sure my mom would not be happy about this. And they got out, and my mom goes into the basement. That's where the washing machine was. It was a partially finished basement. And she pulls up some dirty clothes, and there goes a couple salamanders out. Yep, we all heard her scream. We all heard her scream. And she come up out of there in a hurry, and she would not go back down until my sister accounted for all those salamanders. Okay, and those are just little salamanders, and only 17. Can you imagine hundreds of frogs? Okay, getting the oven fired up. Okay, get it warmed up, get your bread kneaded. He's like, "Oof, what stinks in the oven?" Oh, just barbecued 20 frogs. Ugh. Okay, and that's what happened. They were everywhere. It's gross. And not only that, tell a story about my twins. They went camping. I know it was last year, 2 years ago. Their families, you know, old families, and they went to a small private campground, a nice big pond. And the kids, you know, walked around the pond, they fished, and, you know, did their camping thing. So it got dark, and the frogs started to croak. And you know what a bullfrog sounds like. Well, there was a lot of bullfrogs, and they were croaking. And the kids had trouble sleeping that night because of the frogs croaking. Okay, and it was just a small pond with some bullfrogs. We're talking so many frogs, you probably can't walk without stepping on one. And the noise, the squeaks that they would make, been terrible, okay? The bullfrogs kept it up all night, and then when it started to break dawn, they stopped. And then 15 minutes later, the ducks took over. So they did not have a real restful camping trip. But, you know, it just gives you an idea. Just imagine, like in here, if there's 1,000 frogs on the floor, and they're all going to be making noise, especially when we get up to go somewhere and step on one, okay? And what happens when you step on a frog? Yucky stuff, right? Okay? Frogs are not sturdy. It had to have been a disaster. And you don't want to step on one because they're sacred. Okay? Under normal circumstances, you could be killed for killing a frog. Now, you can't walk somewhere without stepping on one. And let alone, you got your cart going up the road, you got your horses going up and down the road, you got the Pharaoh with his chariots coming through, you're trying to get to the neighbor's house. Just frogs everywhere, okay? You're going to be stepping on them. You shut the door, and it's like, oh, there's frog guts in my door jam, okay? It had been terrible. And then all the noise. Verse 4, the frogs will go up on you and your people and all your officials. So, Pharaoh, here it comes. It's coming to you. It's coming to your people. It's coming to your officials, okay? The generals, the administrators, the big shots, the money people, okay? The little people, everybody's getting frogs. However, the frogs will go up on you and your people. Huh. Doesn't look like the Israelites had frogs. The Egyptians had the frogs. That was probably a point not lost on Pharaoh. All right. Up to this point, okay, we had the snakes, staff turned to snakes, we had the river turned to blood. Pharaoh probably thought, yeah, you know what? Old Moses here, he has to do some serious stuff to get to me. He felt there was a certain dignity on the attack. Now we're going to the little things, the little feeble, contemptible things to get to the big, bad Pharaoh. If God had called out lions to plague Egypt, or tigers, or deadly poisonous serpents, cobras, okay, Pharaoh could have said, yeah, look what it takes to beat me. What's it taking to beat him now? Stinking little green frogs, okay? God is humbling Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't know who he was. Pharaoh's about to find out. Okay. And then, if you know the rest of the story, you know that what's coming next is gnats and flies. So God is using these itsy-bitsy little things to get to Pharaoh. All right. So we have frogs going to come up. They're irritating. They're inconvenient. They're going to be in your way. It seems like, as humans, we would rather face something life-threatening and dangerous than something horribly inconvenient and just repetitive all the time, okay? You got a toothache, okay? It's irritating. It's not killing you, but it's irritating. What do you want? Take it out. Fill it. Do something. It's going to be painful, but I can't take it. So you have the frogs. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak thing of the world to shame the strong. And if that isn't what's happening here, you got these itty-bitty little stinking frogs, and Pharaoh, who they worship as a god, if you studied Egypt at all, Mrs. Metzler, right? Yeah. If you were in seventh grade in Tyrone way back in the day, you had Mrs. Metzler, and we had an Egypt chapter. Okay, Pharaoh was worshipped as a god. So there you are. Got these itty-bitty little things just getting under your skin. All right. So in chapter 8, verse 5, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron to stretch out your hand with the staff over the streams, the canals, and the ponds, and make the frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Okay? You're worshiping the frogs, you're going to get some frogs. God has a sense of humor. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. Covered the land. Okay? It wasn't just a couple frogs here and there. They were everywhere. They were everywhere. Rooms, courtyards, okay, what passed for yards in those days, streets, everywhere. And it happened right away. Now, God had to alter the normal mindset of a frog here, okay? Because frogs wouldn't do that. But they did. And it was a horrible bunch of frogs. Horrible bunch. Okay? It seems as if, like, God, when he did this, he created more frogs. Because the Nile wouldn't have enough frogs to cover Egypt. So when Aaron raised his hand, God multiplied the frogs. Okay? Is that something too hard? No. Okay, I mean, Jesus multiplied fishes and loaves, and God can multiply frogs. He made them to start with. And I have a very active imagination, okay, which sometimes is good, sometimes is bad. But I could just see this, okay? Here's Aaron putting out his hand over the waters, over the canals, over the ponds, and all of a sudden frogs started to come out. And I could just see the water boiling as frogs, the frogs couldn't come out fast enough. Okay, and here they come, and the Egyptians are like, whoa, I don't need this. Back to the house. Well, here they came, right in the door. Okay? Frogs everywhere. Now, look at verse 7. But the magicians did the same thing by their secret arts. They also made frogs come up to the land of Egypt. So Pharaoh, he called his magicians. Hey, got a plague of frogs. All these frogs come and do something. I don't think making more frogs was the right thing to do. Okay, just me. But they did that. They did that. When Satan opposes God's work, he counterfeits it. So that's what they, you know, obviously it was satanic. They were doing the same thing. In the long run, they were helping God out. More frogs. They wanted the Pharaoh to think, well, I'm just as powerful as Moses. He brought frogs, we brought frogs. Well, there you go. Well, if they were truly better than Moses, they would have made the frogs go away. But they couldn't, and they didn't. And they made it worse. Okay, now, you have some people will attack the plague of all the plagues because, you know, really there's like no God, right? And they'll say, like, this plague is so bogus. I mean, look at how can this really happen? Frogs maybe come out of the Nile. Okay, it happens from time to time. There's overabundance of anything. But five ways to show us that this was a true plague of God, not just some natural occurrence. Okay? It happened at the hand of Moses and Aaron. Okay? It just didn't happen at a random time. Okay? They called it. The frogs just didn't hang around the banks like a frog is wont to do. It came onto the land into houses, which frogs won't do. Pharaoh, he realizes this is a judgment of God. Okay? And we'll get to that here in a minute. At God's command, the frogs left the land and went back to the Nile. And they died. Some of them died. Okay? All at the same time. Which, again, is not something that is going to happen so much. All right? With the frogs that went back to the water, if it was polluted with blood, no. Okay? So now it must have been clean. But by saying the frogs came out of the Nile because of the blood, they may be denying plague two, but acknowledging plague one. Okay? Or we can acknowledge all 10 plagues and say, yep, this is God at work. This is God at work. All right, verse 8. Pharaoh's had enough. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go and offer sacrifices to the Lord. All right, so Pharaoh has had enough. How long we had the plague of frogs, Bible doesn't tell us. Could have been days, could have been weeks, who knows. Okay, probably every effort short of killing the frogs, they tried. There'd be snakes that would eat a couple frogs here and there. The birds would eat a couple frogs here and there. But there's just no way you could get rid of frogs that are covering the ground. Okay, and it's going to be gross. It's going to be disgusting. And every time you get rid of a frog, probably a couple more coming to take his place. So we don't know, but you would think the people would be hollering, yeah, we've had enough. The counselors, okay, they're probably hearing this. They're going to Pharaoh, the people have had enough, okay? We need to do something about this. So Pharaoh wants rid of the frogs. Does he go to his magicians? Nope. Okay, he calls for Moses, okay, before Moses was going to Pharaoh. Okay, let my people go. Nope. Now Pharaoh's like, hey, somebody get Moses for me. Okay, he's starting to intellectually get the picture that maybe Moses has a little bit of power here with the Lord, and that the God of Moses was able to do some stuff that maybe his magicians couldn't do that. So he calls for Moses and Aaron, and he acknowledges that God exists. Pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people. Okay, I don't know who the God is. I don't know who your God is, but yep, can you pray to him for me? He's out there. You need to pray to him. Okay, request for prayer wasn't a sign of Pharaoh's spirituality, but superstition. Okay, a lot of desperate people will call on a pastor or call on somebody that's godly to pray for them in a time of need, and then when that time of need is over, yeah, I don't need you anymore, okay? I know a guy who got Lyme's disease, really bad, like on his bed thinking he was going to die bad. And he contacted his brother and said, can you give me the name and phone number of your pastor? Put it beside his bed. He thought, if I keep getting worse, I'm going to call this guy. Well, he had the antibiotics. He got better, crumpled up and threw it away. You know, he didn't intend on calling on God. He wanted somebody else to call on God for him. He's like the Pharaoh. Okay. Pharaoh learned God's name. Okay. Pharaoh learned about God's power. You had these frogs that like nothing they'd ever seen before. He knew the plague was a divine miracle. Okay. And by asking Moses to pray and take him away, pray to God to take him away, he was admitting that God had power over creation. Not him, not the Pharaoh, you know, I'm a god, or not any of his gods. Okay, Pharaoh understood that, okay, prayer is the way to go. The word used here for prayer, atar, is the word for supplication, for making a humble request. So he knew that somebody had to talk to God humbly and make a request, get rid of these frogs. And he knew what God required. I will let your people go and offer sacrifices to the Lord. He knew what God wanted, okay? And I'll let you do that if you take these frogs away. Sort of like there's no atheists in a foxhole. Cool, you'll probably learn that. There are no atheists in foxholes, okay? But once the battle's over, yeah, maybe there is. Okay, so he understood what God demanded of him, and when things are bad, he's ready to do that. And then when it was not so bad, not so much. Okay, Pharaoh was humiliated by the frogs. He was humiliated by a reversal in a relationship. Okay, Moses was coming to Pharaoh. Now all of a sudden, Pharaoh's begging Moses to come talk to him. Okay, that had to hurt the Pharaoh. Resisting God only brings pain and humiliation. Okay, that was the Pharaoh, and that's for us today. It just shows how much a person can learn about God, but don't come to him for salvation. Pharaoh knew God was the creator and the judge. He recognized the power of God's name. He believed God could answer prayer, but he didn't know God as his personal God. He asked Moses to pray for him. He made the wrong request. He prayed to get rid of the frogs, which he had prayed to get rid of. His sin, okay, but he didn't. He wanted the immediate. All right. He wanted to be relieved of punishment without having to repent of the sin. All right. Next verse. Next slide. Moses said to Pharaoh, I leave to you the honor of setting a time for me to pray for you and your officials, that your people and your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that will remain in the Nile. Okay, they're going to be rid of the frogs, except there's still going to be some in the Nile, okay, not wiping them all out, okay? And Moses is saying, I'll let you pick the time. I'll let you pick the time. Okay, next slide. Moses returned good for evil. Pharaoh is evil. Pharaoh was harsh to the Israelites, making them slaves, making them work harder, okay? Did Moses take retribution? Did he ask God to, you know, smite Pharaoh with leprosy or something? He didn't, okay? Just, we'll get rid of the frogs and we'll leave. It's all good, okay? He returned good for evil. He treated Pharaoh with respect. I'll give you the honor of picking the time. And he's ready to pray for him. He was ready to pray for Pharaoh. The honor is yours to tell me, okay? Moses, it says a lot about his character. He's still giving Pharaoh honor, okay? He knew he had God's backing, and he was working towards a higher purpose. The Pharaoh knew there's nobody like the Lord. And by letting the Pharaoh pick the time, then there's no, you know, saying, well, yeah, it worked because we knew there's going to be a conjunction of the Jupiter and Venus with the star Cyrus and, you know, all frogs will go away. Nuh-uh. He gets to pick the time. He gets to pick the time. Okay? And Pharaoh was going to know that the frogs went at God's work, not anybody else's. And they're going back in the river. So we're figuring the river is healed up from the plague of blood. All right. Now, in the verse it said that you'll be rid of the frogs. Some of your translations may say destroyed. I like destroyed better than rid. Moses said, in effect, you can tell me when you want the frogs destroyed. Okay. What's destroyed mean? Killed. Okay. Pharaoh didn't get real specific with Moses exactly what he wanted to have happen. Okay. Destroyed means they're not going to be running around chirping and croaking and doing all this stuff. Okay. Vanished means they'd be all gone. He didn't say vanished. He said destroyed. Okay. So Pharaoh got to decide when the frogs would croak. Frogs would croak. Come on, huh? Don't make me make this longer. all right. So he was showing, Moses was showing absolute confidence in the power of God. Tell me when it'll happen. Okay. Public statement about his faith. Going to have the power of God. Okay. Next verse. Tomorrow, Pharaoh said. Tomorrow. Okay. This is the verse that cracks me up. Okay. Who you got these frogs? You can't get in bed without having a bed full of frogs. Okay. So much for the Song of Solomon thing. You got frogs in your kitchen, you got frogs in your oven, you got frogs on your table, you got frogs in your kneading, you got frogs in your bread, you got frogs in your street, you got frogs everywhere. Tomorrow. What? When I first read this, I'm like, what on earth? Okay, why did he say tomorrow? Okay, well, we sort of do that a lot, don't we? Okay. That's a really, really unpleasant job. I'll put that off till tomorrow, okay? Maybe something will happen to take care of it. We always try to put unpleasant stuff off till tomorrow, and I'm as guilty as that. Now, this is not a message about procrastination, by the way. All right? So I don't want anybody to go home and say, hey, look at honey, you didn't do dishes, ribbit, ribbit. Okay, or hey, I asked you to paint the bathroom, 3 weeks ago, ribbit, ribbit. Not talking about procrastination here. Please don't do that. I don't want to come to church next week and have six people with baseball bats waiting for me. Okay? Ladies, just remember, if you tell your husband to do something, you don't have to remind him every 6 months, okay? All right. So we're not talking about procrastination. We're talking about sin, okay? We're talking about sin. So why didn't he say it right now? He may have been thinking, maybe we'll get up tomorrow and frogs will be gone. That would be all right. Maybe he went out and issued a public declaration. I will get rid of the frogs tomorrow. Okay, and the people are like, yay, Pharaoh's the man. Okay, and then say to Moses, yeah, get rid of him tomorrow so he could take the glory. We don't really know. But he wants one more night with the frogs. All right. If we look at Pharaoh, he is like a very typical of a sinner, okay? He lives in his sin. He's going to wallow in his sin. He doesn't necessarily, want to get rid of his sin right away. Okay, when should sin be dealt with? I didn't put this on a slide, but this is a good verse. Hebrews 3, 7, and the first part of 8. As the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Okay, today's the day to get rid of sin. Okay, today's the day to get rid of the frogs. Okay, not tomorrow, today. Okay. Why do we want to make sure we do it today? Let's look at the next slide. Frogs may not leave tomorrow. Okay, if you're living in your sin and you got some froggy sins, okay, they might be here tomorrow. They might be here the next day. They might be here for a long time. Okay. Deal with them today. Deal with them today. Okay? The bad thing about sin is sometimes we can get comfortable with it. Okay? It's not that bad. It's not bad at all. Okay? That's not stopping me from going to church on Sunday. It's all good. Okay? Sin is sin. Don't get comfortable with it. Okay? The next thing, okay? Tomorrow may never come. Okay? Deal with your frogs today. Tomorrow, nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. Nobody's guaranteed Sunday dinner today. Really, you think about it. I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, it was fall of 1978, it was August, and I was on fire watch, and I had to throw a military story for you, Cole. I was on fire watch, and in the barracks were made out of concrete. They weren't going to burn, except the, you know, pillows and blankets and stuff were burnable. But it was sort of like a guard duty in the barracks. I mean, we had the squad bays, and you'd walk around and make sure that, you know, nobody would come in that didn't belong there. No fighting, you know, if water sprung a leak in the, you know, or something like that, or, you know, you were there to take care of it right away. So it was my turn. It was Saturday morning, okay? It's like 5 to 6 shift. I'm doing my fire watch thing. I hear the door open. It's like, okay, got to check this out. And I go and check out, and this is how vivid this is for me. It was Corporal Callahan. I remember this guy, okay? Corporal Callahan. He was in charge of the barracks. We were all privates, PFCs, maybe a couple of Lance Corporals. He was a corporal. He was in charge. Anything happened in the barracks, he was responsible for it. He'd come get you. He came in with a lieutenant and I think a third guy. And so, of course, I, you know, right away go over, you know, what's going on. And he said, where is Private Kofelt's locker? I remember this guy's name, Kofelt. Okay, it was like right across from my locker in my bunk. And I said, you know, it's right over there. That's his right there. And he said, okay. And he pulled out bolt cutters. I'm like, what's going on? He said, he was killed last night, hit by a drunk driver. They snapped his lock, took his stuff, inventoried it. That's why the lieutenant was there. They inventoried his stuff. They took the garbage can, anything they figured the parents didn't want or need, they threw away. And the rest of the stuff went back to his parents. He's dead. 18 years old, okay? Nothing was guaranteed. So tomorrow may never come, okay? We want to deal with our frogs today. Okay, that was 46 years ago. And the third thing is, with the frogs, something worse may come. Something worse may come. You have a little sin, it's like, yeah, you know, it's just a little thing, not a big deal, okay? You get comfortable with it, and all of a sudden it either multiplies or something a little worse comes along. Not by huge degrees, just a little bit. It's like the old saying, you put the frog in the water and turn the pot up just a little bit at a time. And then the frog will eventually be cooked and never jump out, okay? Don't be in the pot, okay? Frogs today, snakes tomorrow, who knows? Don't leave the frogs go, okay? Something worse may be coming down the line. Okay, and in verse 11, the frogs will leave you in your houses and your officials and your people, and they remain only in the Nile. Okay, so we've got the frogs. We're getting rid of the frogs. Getting rid of the frogs. Going to be back in their natural habitat. Things will be back the way they're supposed to be. Okay. The only living frogs will be left in the Nile. The only living frogs will be left in the Nile. Okay. Pharaoh didn't think that through. Look at verse 12. After Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs he had brought on Pharaoh. Okay. Now, Moses prayed for Pharaoh. Okay. Not necessarily a guy he particularly liked, but does the Bible ever say only pray for people you like? Now, pray for those that persecute you, okay? Pray for those that use you, okay? Moses did that. Who else did that in the New Testament? Paul did. He sure did, okay? Jesus did that, okay? They set the example. We don't have to like everybody in the world, but we should pray for them. Just as Jesus did, just as Moses did, just as Paul did. Okay, it says that he cried out. You'll find this in Exodus a lot when the Israelites were up against the wall, okay? Pharaoh's army is coming across the parted Red Sea. They cried out. They were out in the desert and they were dying of thirst. They cried out. The word's used frequently in Exodus. It's used throughout the Bible. I have a whole list of places that I'm not going to get into it because, you know, I don't want to keep you here way too long. But it's used a lot. Cried out. You're in mortal danger. You cry out. Okay? Moses is sort of in mortal danger. If the frogs didn't go, okay, Pharaoh would use that as an opportunity to kill Moses. All right. Verse 13. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The frogs died in the houses, on the courtyards, and in the fields. Apparently, I couldn't decide if that was in or on, so I could just hedge my bets there. Okay, so they died everywhere. What's Egypt like weather-wise? Hot, yeah, okay. It's an arid area. If it weren't for the Nile River, it'd just be an old, big, huge, sandy desert, okay? And what are you going to get when the frogs die? Oh, that is going to stink horrible, okay? The frogs all died, okay? It's just, you know, it's just sort of squeamish to think about it. Moses prayed, okay? Frogs be destroyed. They were destroyed, okay? Prayer of a good man should be feared and desired, okay? If you're doing something wrong, you should fear the prayer of a good man. That's where Pharaoh fell, okay? And if you're in good company with a good man and they're praying for you, that's something to desire. Okay, verse 14. And they, the frogs, were piled into heaps, and the land reeked of them. Okay, actually, the actual Hebrew, heaps is doubled. It's like they were piled in heaps. Okay, just to give you an idea, this was huge heaps. Okay, and the land reeked. The land reeked. All right, so what did we learn about that? Next slide. When we choose to sin, we don't have the option to choose our consequences. Pharaoh chose to sin. He didn't get to choose his consequences. And this was a consequence. Okay? Was stepping on a frog bad? Oh, yeah. Was walking by a pile of them rotting bad? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe even worse. Okay? This time of year, you're going up to Altoona, and you got the windows down, and it's like, oh, what was that? Oh, there's a deer. Right? Okay? Can you imagine a pile of frogs in the 100-degree heat? All right, so Pharaoh had the consequences of his sins, and he got to live with that. All right, verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and would not listen to Moses or Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Okay, who made the heart? God made the heart. God knew Pharaoh. Okay, God knows all of us. God knew what he was going to do. But did God harden his heart there? No, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Pharaoh saw that there was a break, there was relief. Literally in the Hebrew, it means taking a breath, like breathing space. And he hardened his heart. Okay, not God. That shows Pharaoh's character. And it became a familiar pattern, okay? It's not the first time, it won't be the last time, and again, it's going to get easier and easier each time he does it, okay? God offered mercy. Pharaoh said, yeah, no, not so much, okay? So, this is what a hardened heart does. Sees evidence of God and his power and his word and refuses to accept it. Okay? A hardened heart, next verse. A hardened heart actually knows the word of God and the work of God, but refuses to yield to it. Okay? You may talk to somebody at work or a neighbor or something like that. Yeah, I know all that religion stuff. Okay? No interested. Yeah, got a hard heart. Okay? They know the word of God, they know the work of God, just not interested. For so long, they've lived with that frog that the frog's their buddy, okay? Got a hard heart, not yielding to the work and word of God. All right, if you ever want to have an interesting Bible study, you can do a concordance on the word harden here. And very interesting, there's six times it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Four times God said, his heart's going to be a good hard, okay? Five times it doesn't say if Pharaoh did it or if God did it. Three times Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And it was not until the sixth plague, where it is listed in Scripture, that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Okay? So he just sort of ran with the frogs here. Okay? I just keep getting rid of the plague and blowing you guys off and make you work harder. Okay? Keeping in my sin. So judgment is going to be poured out on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Okay? You got eight more plagues after the frogs, including the Passover, the death of the firstborn. And then, it's not listed as a plague, but you think about it, okay, the Israelites left, Pharaoh went after them, got to the Red Sea, went across the Red Sea after them, and the army was destroyed when the water came back together, okay? What, not listed as a plague, but, you know, it almost looks like a plague, okay? A judgment, definitely a judgment, okay? Pharaoh and Egypt had the judgment of God poured out on them, and it was horrible. Okay? We all are subject to the judgment of God. However, when we get to the New Testament, what happened to God's judgment? It went on Jesus. Jesus hung on the cross and took the judgment of our sin so that we didn't have to experience this kind of stuff. Okay? So, we don't have to take the wrath of God like Egypt and Pharaoh did. Jesus took that. We just have to accept that. We have to accept Jesus as our Savior and rejoice in the fact that we don't have to worry about the wrath of God on us. Okay? We're all a lot like Pharaoh before we're saved. Okay? We're not a whole lot different. We'll plead stuff. We'll beg stuff. We'll do stuff. It's all about us. Okay, when we get saved, we got a new heart, a new life in Jesus Christ, okay? And that's where we want to go. So, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, in the bulletin, there's a little thing there in the back of the notes, the way to heaven. If you're out there looking on Facebook and you're not sure about this, you can give the church a call. But basically what it boils down to is God loves you. We're all sinners. Penalty for sin is death. Christ died to take that penalty. If you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, believe in your heart that he took your sins, okay, you can be a child of God. You don't have to worry about getting plagues of frogs. Okay? If you're a Christian and maybe you have a couple frogs living on your couch, yeah, take a look. I don't know, okay? We all have certain places in our lives where frogs can worm their way into. Okay, we all do. Okay, you have to decide: is this something that God wants me to get rid of? Is there something God wants me to do? Okay, God wants me to, have a quiet time every morning or every evening, and I just don't do that because I'd rather watch TV. That's a frog. Okay, deal with that frog. Deal with that frog. And if you figure you've pretty much got rid of your frogs and You're doing okay spiritually, pray. Moses prayed for Pharaoh, prayed for his people, okay? Pray. If the James 5:6 says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, okay? Pray for your pastor. Pray for your leaders. Pray for people you don't like, okay? Moses didn't necessarily like Pharaoh, but he prayed for him, okay? I would bet you could think of somebody in Harrisburg or Washington, D.C. you don't like, okay? Pray for them, okay? You could probably think of somebody in Tyrone you don't like. Pray for them. Pray for them. You find out that, if you really and truly pray for them, you find out that, I really don't like, I like them more than I thought I did, okay? And that's where God wants us to be. That's where God wants us to be. One more night with the frogs. Not where I want to be. If you don't belong to Jesus, now's the day. If you do belong to Jesus, this is a song of rejoicing. Song of rejoicing. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your servants. We thank you that you love us, Lord, and that you sent Jesus to die for our sins. And we thank you for just so many things, and especially that we're not walking on frogs today. Pray that you'd bless the time as we go home. Give us a good time with our family. and bring us back next week if it's your will, Lord, that we can learn more about you. Pray bless Pastor while he's on vacation. He could be refreshed. Pray bless the Whites as well, Lord, as they're on vacation. Give them a time of refreshment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.